Coming up on TMS, that's no potato moon, it's a space cucumber.
Erotic thriller lift.
Brian Dunaway, mint in box.
Guano beef bowl.
All caps gack.
Fing kong.
Evil Pope chimney.
Union Drax attire.
Assistant to the regional scoutmaster.
Consenting microphones in public.
Things just got real loud.
Beelzebub has a drunk girl put aside for me, for me, for me.
Get out of my car, Jennifer Coolidge.
Angry, triggered, unhinged, yet attractive.
How many in a slew?
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Gary, it seems like with the Flowbee, you can do any kind of a cut imaginable. And of course, with kids these days, we're talking about any kind of a cut imaginable.
Elizabeth Montgomery and Elliot Gould make and break the rules of marriage. Next.
The Morning Stream. It's called pain. Get used to it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. Brand new week. It's Monday, March 21st, 2021. That's my excuse. I'll just say I was testing. That's all that was.
Okay. All right. Good. Yes.
Part of the business here, podcasting business, you got to test the mic. And
that's right. Yep.
Did a little of that in front of you. Hello, I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. Happy brand new week.
Yeah, man.
As we hurtle ever closer to the end of March and the beginning of April.
Beware the Ides of March, I was always told.
That's right. About a week ago, you would have been bewaring them.
Yeah, I was bewared. I bewared them, and they never did anything to me, so it was fine.
Well, that's because you bewared them. It's like once you stop bewaring them, then the Ides of March rear their ugly heads.
Those dirty, dirty bastards.
dirty, dirty Ides.
We're glad to be back. We hope you guys had a good weekend and did fun things. I know Brian had a fun thing happen in his Lyft deal. Would you like to regale us? Because Friday you dropped a hit
I teased that there was some fun stuff that happened during the Lyft ride. And so really quick to get people caught up, Lyft had a bounty kind of thing and said, if you get 25 rides done between whatever, the 5th and the 20th, then we'll throw an extra $300 on top of it. And I feel like, all right, well, you know what? I haven't driven for Lyft since the beginning of the pandemic. Have not driven for Lyft in a year and a half.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I can knock out 25 rides in like a few mornings just going up to Boulder. Like go up before TMS, do an hour and a half of that, take some trust fund kids to Starbucks on their parents' dime when they live, you know, their dorms or their frats and sororities are like three blocks away. Take them to the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Sure, sure.
So I did that for a couple mornings and knocked out the first 10 rides. And so I had 15 left. And Tina and I weren't doing anything for St. Patrick's Day. We're not, you know, don't really go out on nights like that to go drinking. If anything, we might go have Irish food.
Sure.
Should I trigger Claire again with a mention of corned beef and cabbage?
Ooh, corned beef. Corned beef.
Yeah. Anyway, going to, I'll take advantage of St. Patrick's Day and I will work the earlier shift, right? I'll start at 3. I'll pick up the students from class, take them back to their apartments and dorms and frats and sororities. And then maybe be there for the beginning part of taking them to the bars.
Yeah, you don't want them later. It's a nightmare.
I don't want to pick anybody up. Yeah. I just want to take them there.
Exactly.
So it's exactly what I did. I went up to Boulder, and as is the case, about 5 or 6 rides in, and like it was constant. It was all short rides. It was like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, you know, picking somebody up, taking them right away to where they need to go. And rides were close by. Like as soon as I got one ride, 2 blocks away was another ride and I'd take them where they need to go. And it was great. Mm. But about 5 or 6 rides in, I get a really, really nice guy who is a classically trained upright bass player, and he's played in Carnegie Hall, and the kid is like 24, 25. And so we talked all about Andrew Allen Trio and jazz music and improvisational jazz and all that for the entire ride from Boulder to Denver, 45 minutes.
Man, that's a lot of time talking about upright basses.
Taking me out of Boulder and then taking me into downtown Denver. And I'm thinking, oh, crap, I'm going to be stuck in downtown Denver, and it's going to be slow because there are a lot of drivers down there, and it's more sprawling, so I'm going to be making longer trips. No, quite the opposite. It was, again, it was like constant, and it was all little short trips. I had like, I got the first 10 done before 6 and decided, well, I'm downtown, I'll just grab a bite. So I ate some, ate at this place called Buono Beef, not Guano Beef, it would be horrible.
Rat poo
but
beef.
Buono, B-U-O-N-O.
Or bat, yeah.
It's Italian, or Buono Beef. Buono Beef, it's an Italian beef place. And they do these bowls that are... it's like an Italian beef sandwich with the beef and peppers and a little bit of cheese, but in a bowl so you don't have the carbs. You just have the...
You have the guts. You don't have the outsider business. Yeah.
So I had one of those, and I said, all right, let's knock them out. These last five rides.
Yeah.
Now, everything prior to that point was me picking up people and taking them to bars. Pretty much, and a few people didn't even realize it was St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Oh, really?
I said, ooh, you guys got big plans tonight? No, it's a Thursday, you know, just doing the usual. I'm like, oh, okay. Have you called ahead to maybe make sure that the place you're planning on going has tables? Because it is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Wow, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So prior to dinner, like, calm, mellow people. After dinner, people were starting to move from one bar to another, and there's like such a great formula. Like, it was almost four of the five rides were three people, exactly three people each, and in almost every case all three people jammed into the back of my Kia Soul.
Yeah,
in one case somebody got in the front seat. Three guys,
yeah,
quiet. They'd been drinking. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're having a really good night. We're going to go to this bar, and then maybe we're just going to go to a party afterwards, and should be fun.
Yeah.
The more women you introduce to the group, so two guys and one woman, the volume level raises about 30%.
Oh, okay.
And then two women, one guy, the volume level raises about another 30%. And then by the time it's all three women, it's just like, oh, my God, it's so loud in here. I can't deal. But
we're not making any implication with that. We're just saying it got louder, everybody. That's all.
It just got louder. Just got louder. That's all I'm saying, Claire. Yeah. All caps GAC.
Yeah.
one of the groups, this is the fun story. So one of the groups I picked up, two women and a guy, and woman, the drunkest of the women, the woman whose name was on the thing, her name was Erin, oddly enough, you know, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, Erin, yeah.
Erin Gobra, yeah. She gets in. Oh my God! I saw your Oingo Boingo bumper sticker on the back. I love Oingo Boingo. Oh my God! Have you guys ever heard the song "Little Girls"? It's so perverted. Put that on, Brian.
You should have said, "I'm taking the dog, dumbass." Sound just like her,
like Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge.
So I get Siri to play "Little Girls" by Oingo Boingo, and her friends aren't listening. They're chatting about the next place, but she's like, "No, turn it up!" And she starts singing at the top of her lungs. And the song, you know, the lyrics are like, "I love little girls; they make me feel so good." And keep in mind, this is written by the same guy who wrote the Simpsons theme and Beetlejuice.
Yeah, of course, sure.
All this great, you know, kid-friendly music.
Yeah.
So that song ends, and then one of the other people's like, "Oh, how about put on some Queen?" And I'm like, "All right." So I tell Siri to put on some Queen.
Of course,
Bohemian Rhapsody is the first song that comes up, and they're like, "Oh my God, turn this up!"
No,
like, have you just not heard this song?
You're just setting it up for a nightmare time now.
Believe me, I love Queen. I love that song, but.
Yeah, but you don't want a bunch of drunk people doing that middle bit, trying to do their best. Not Bill and Ted,
Wayne and Garth.
Yes. Gosh.
Well, indeed, Scott, that is what happened, and we, they, asked me, they paid me extra to, with tips, to not go directly to the bar that they wanted to go to. We had all four windows down, all four of us in the car singing Bohemian Rhapsody at the top of our lungs. I knew the lyrics. They didn't.
They barely remember the movie that was that Wayne and Garth were in, let alone the lyrics to the song they're singing. They just know the feeling it gave them. I get it.
And like, basically, one part, you know, I was listening. I wish I could have recorded. I wish I could have. It was like, Mama, put a bullet through his head. Pull bullet through his head.
I mean, I assume they were all drunk already, right?
They were. Two of them were tipsy, but Drunk Girl was super drunk. And then we start pulling into in front of the bar they're going to. We didn't make it to the da na 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 na.
Oh, that's a shame. That's too bad.
Oh no, it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, what a bummer.
Because before that, you get the Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Figaro. Well, super drunk girl who likes Oingo Boingo decided this was an opportunity to do her best job at maybe hitting on me. I think, I can't tell, but she looked directly at me and sang the lyrics, and I'm going to substitute F's. maybe I shouldn't. I've already told Tina this story. Wanna F you, wanna F you, wanna F you, wanna F.
Wow.
Beelzebub. Yeah, like.
Looking okay, right at
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Have fun tonight. Good night.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Good night,
have
everybody.
Yeah.
Leave them in the
exactly.
dust. You don't want to pick them up later when things wear off, you know?
Wait, my phone. I left my phone in
phone.
There. Anyway. But all in all, I mean, they were the only plastered group, and I didn't think they were at the point where any of them were going to throw up. There was none of that, like,
yeah.
You know that the noises you just don't want to hear as a Lyft driver.
Yeah, it's like what your dog
Do you have
does.
Any water.
No, get out of my car, Jennifer Coolidge. Get out of here now.
Exactly.
That's
anyway.
Amazing. What a fun time.
So got my 25 rides. I was done by 8 o'clock p.m. I was home by 8:30. Enjoyed some fun TV watching with the missus.
Yeah,
and had a nice early night. Didn't have to take any more drunk people around.
Did you regale her with this story? Did you tell her this story when you?
Oh, of course I did. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I couldn't wait to tell her. I'm like, oh my god, you won't believe this group.
It's really
all
good.
Every group still, even them. Polite, nice, friendly, lots of tips. People tipped heavily on that night.
Nice.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
One more really quick thing. I'm going to really quickly give a mini review of a brand new show that is on Hulu that will not be a recommendal this week because it was the most frustrating thing I think I've watched in a long time.
Okay.
And that is the brand new Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas, Deep Waters on Hulu. This is the movie on which those two met and started dating and kind of got trapped together for the pandemic. It's by the same author. It's based on a book by the same author as Telling Mr. Ripley, and it's directed by the same director as like Unfaithful and Basic Instinct and like all those kind of 80s, 90s erotic thrillers.
Sure. Sure, sure.
And that's basically what this is. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. And Ana de Armas is naked all over the place in this thing. Mm. But even that wasn't enough to make these two tolerable. This was the most intolerable couple in a movie I've ever seen. It looks like Brian Dunaway's seen it too. Maybe we want to wait and get him on this one too.
Mm. I didn't see it. I didn't even know this was a thing. Had no idea this existed.
Yeah,
this is news to me.
This was supposed to be released in 2019 or 2020 and got pushed back. This is a Disney like owned joint.
Mm.
So
what do they put this under? The Hollywood Pictures moniker or something else?
I can't remember what the... We certainly didn't get the...
It's not going...
You Wish Upon a Star theme.
Didn't do that.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
With a couple boobs and a penis as the castle. You know, they like changed the castle for all their different...
properties. That's the only way you would ever see it on Disney. I can tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, man. I mean, it's basically about a couple... the dude loves the woman so much that he kind of sort of tolerates her being overly flirtatious and cheating on him with other people and openly kissing other guys in front of him. And then they fight about it. And like, why don't you two just split up for Pete's sake? I can't imagine loving anybody enough to put up with that crap.
It sounds like I would not like this movie very much.
It sounds like you would not like this movie. Yeah. Yes.
Does Ben Affleck, is he any good? Is he like, acting?
They're both acting wise. They're both great.
Yeah.
If that's a story that sounds like something you'd like to see, then it's well acted and well written, but it stars, it features two characters that you'd like to see held under water in a swimming pool for half an hour.
Then I am not interested. It sounds like I am going to skip this one, I believe.
I would skip this one. I don't know if I never saw Gigli. I don't know if the characters are likable in that one, but they have to be a lot more likable than this.
Yeah. We keep getting asked to do that one for FilmSec. I don't know if that ever happens.
We have to. I feel like Crossroads and Gigli have to be on our list sometime.
I forgot about Crossroads. Didn't someone boycotted it, or didn't one of us veto it?
Someone boycotted it without seeing it, and I think that's against the rules. I think you have to, one of us has to see the movie to be able to boycott it, because just saying, I think this is going to be bad.
Yeah. One of you three, then one of you other three get to do that.
Definitely wasn't me. Yeah. It wasn't you and it wasn't me, so we know it had to be one of two people.
Yeah, it was Brian or Randy. Had to be, because it wasn't us. Well, anyway, all right then. Anyway, sounds like a fun-filled, good weekend for you there.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun, actually. It was a enjoyable smarch weekend with some nice veritable blast. Weather.
Yeah, the weather definitely turned up here. So except yesterday, it rained all day and snowed, kind of half snowed all day, and that kind of sucked.
We have the half snow now.
Yeah, it was wet and gross, but prior to that, very nice and clear today. So take that, world. I would like to register a complaint. If you're going to be a website that lets you sign up on the website,
yeah,
you also better let me cancel there too and not have to call you, okay?
Here, here. Exactly. Yes.
That's the complaint for today. I don't, I will have less complaints all day.
Sirius XM.
Oh my gosh. Hate it. I hate it so bad.
I don't know if that's the one that you're complaining about.
No. It's like two different ones I'm dealing with right now. If you're going to have a service and you've made it so it's possible to sign up there, you have to make it possible to cancel there. That's just the deal. If you don't do that, you suck. All right? And there's plenty of companies who do it the other way. So bye-bye, never using you again. Freaking double bird, F off. All right.
You want to say who the company was?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to give them too much
U-porn.
Heat. I mean, they may get back.
Brazzers.
Brazzers is really hard to cancel.
You got to call to cancel Brazzers.
You have to get in a small bus and drive over there with two of your friends. That's the only way they'll do it.
No, it's the Bing bus.
Yeah.
That's different for Brazzers.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I know that. While you're getting Brian on the line, I'm going to throw out a really quick thanks to Anthony Renbarger. So I pre-ordered those Spice Girls Blockheads Lego figures, and they arrived last week.
Yeah.
And before I had a chance to open the box, another box arrived, which was the Spice Girls Blockheads. And I was able to send back the one I bought from Lego. I opened up the box from Anthony Renbarger. Big thanks to Anthony Renbarger listening to the show.
Yeah.
And they're already put together.
Oh, look at that.
So I just threw each one on the ground and then put the pieces back together. And then I could say that I helped assemble these.
Now, what Spice Girl is that? Is that Ginger?
It's Jerry Halliwell.
Uh-huh.
In her Union Drac attire. Union Jack attire. Drac.
Gotcha.
Union Drac attire.
Yeah, Union Drac attire. Drax.
If I sit still, you can't see me.
No, that's awesome.
The other five of them up there. So
nicely done. And what a very, very generous thing. I also got a generous thing. A local here named Alan gave me his old Genesis. Actually, two old Sega Genesis models. Genesis, yeah.
Two Genesis? He committed genocide?
He committed genocide with me, and it's great. I'm so stoked because I'm building up the old retro pile over around here, and it's very, very cool. Speaking of retro piles, let's get this guy on the line right here. Hey, Dunaway, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I'm not old. I'm retro.
Yeah, you're retro.
Yes, exactly. There you go. You're vintage.
Yeah. That makes you cooler, you know, that you're vintage and retro. Because you're like, hey, look at me with all the games that are old. I am the man.
Yes.
It's good to have you here.
Damn it. You didn't care for the Affleck movie?
Affleck.
You know, you didn't care for it? I didn't
care for it. I liked...
Maybe, how many toxic relationships have you been in? Because this one made me watch going... Yeah, I've been in that situation, not this far, but I understand what's going on.
I've been in a similar, and it's probably was PTSD was part of it. And yeah. Like, it's
exhausting. The film is exhausting, but it's kind of like the one that I recommended where, it's a Gerard Butler. Who is it? Who freaked out on the road rage movie?
Russell Crowe. Damn, I like that movie.
Yeah, that's a hard one to watch too.
It is, but I liked it.
I liked it.
Oh, Drive Angry. Yeah, not Drive Angry. Is it Drive Angry?
No, there's no drive in it. Angry or
Triggered. No, it's like something like Triggered or
Unhinged. Yeah. There it is.
Unhinged. Yes. That's it. It kind of like reminds me of that because I'm almost. At the verge of screaming at the screen. And if you can elicit that kind of emotion from me, you've done something right.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Tina and I kept waiting. It's like basically saying, why are these two together? Why are these two together? Yeah. Why are these two still together the entire, you know?
And they kind of reveal that as they go along, why they're still together.
Not in a satisfying way though. Like,
not meant to be satisfying. You ever been in a toxic relationship?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, all right.
They're not very satisfying. You're right.
But you know, they're both very attractive people. You know, that's just not enough to make me want to watch Knives Out if I want to see some more Ana de Armas.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go back again probably unless I was watching with somebody else.
Nope. I wouldn't even do that. Like, you guys could say, hey, we're watching it for film sec. And I'd say, go ahead. I can remember enough of it.
Yeah. Right. Go watch Blade Runner 2049. She's great in that.
There you go. Yeah. Ana de Armas in that one.
Yeah. Yes. She's awesome. Big old pink neon animated sign lady. She was good in that. All right. hey, Brian, we're going to play a game you've devised for us. The morning half-asses. You're going to have to explain it, though, because I'm sure there's people in the chat who have no idea what the hell this is.
Well, and they'll have no idea when I'm done explaining how this works. Welcome to the morning half-asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if they get any wrong, they get 0 points for that round. If they guess one, they get a point and get it right. If they guess two and they get them both right, they get 3 points. And if they guess all three correctly and get them right, they have 5 points for that. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and contestants will be pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Walker Monahan of New Mexico.
Woo!
Hello, Walker. And Brian, you're going to be playing for Aaron Wilson of Aurora, Colorado, another local. Aaron Wilson of Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah. Nice. Claire says it's still confusing, but listen, whatever. Claire, just play. Listen, it's like complicated tabletop game rules. Just play one and it'll come to you.
Exactly.
Gambling.
Depending on if they get one, two, or three right, they're going to get 1, 3, or 5 points for that. How's that?
It's gambling with your confidence. It's like, am I confident? Exactly. I am going for it.
Exactly. Prizes this time around, the winner is going to get Per Aspera and Just Die Already. Those two games from Steam, courtesy of Wesley. And the third, or the runner-up, is going to get Before We Leave.
Nice
on Steam.
Also, good games. Both games. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right.
Let's do it.
All right. If you guys are ready, let's get to the first category I'm going to give you is Boy Scout Merit Badges. Now, what's interesting about this is we actually had this as a Battle Royale way back in the day. So let's see how well you remember that.
Right.
Your options for Boy Scout Merit Badges are canoeing, fingerprinting, beekeeping, landscape architecture, video games, and martial arts.
These all seem really plausible.
I feel like Sally Struthers on that commercial where she told you all the jobs you could get if you did training with her company.
Yeah.
Canoeing, fingerprinting, beekeeping, landscape architecture.
I think I know this one. I spent enough time in Scouts. I think I'm
I would think good. You were
I was a scout assistant scout master for scout a hot master. Minute.
Oh, you were, yeah.
Yeah.
You were assistant scout master, or were you assistant to the scout master?
I was assistant to the regional scout master. No, I don't know. I don't know what that was. I don't know what my job there was, except those kids were awesome and we had a great time. That's all I remember.
Right. Quick question. This is current, is this ever? Like, they don't rotate them in and out, do they?
This is as of, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm thinking about it too much. I'm clicking things. Forget it. I don't have a year.
Yeah, they don't rotate them in and out, I can tell you that. They will add some and they will remove some, but they don't rotate them.
Yeah.
Usually it's because,
I'm locked in.
The telegraph.
The worst answers ever.
All right.
I
passed it this morning.
You both settled on canoeing. Scott also added fingerprinting and video games.
I said canoodling.
I hope there's less of that going on in this.
And then Brian Dunaway, you have beekeeping. I will show you the answers now. Neither beekeeping nor video games is
go with the beekeeping.
You know why
However,
I did video
for
games?
For some reason, landscape architecture is.
Yeah, I know why I did video games. It just hit me because we did a whole thing. And when I was in the scout leadership, we did a whole whole month of video game history. Why thing, there was no merit badge involved. It was just a cool thing we did. And in my head, that made it more official. And I screwed that up. But anyway, it's fine. We're both zero. We neutralize each other.
All right. Yeah, it's a warm up. We'll call it a warm up. Yeah. We'll just say you're warming up. And now we're going to question number two.
Yeah.
Question number two, languages with more than 10 million speakers. There are a lot of languages on this planet. And three of these have more than 10 million speakers. Three of them have less than 10 million speakers. Somali, Norwegian, Hungarian, Bulgarian, Hebrew, and Nepali.
So we're marking with more than 10. Okay, more than 10.
Yes, languages with more than 10 million speakers.
I just knew it was going to have Klingon in there, but I'm glad you didn't.
Could have.
Right? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I
don't know how big that is. All right, I think I'm locked.
Oh, are you? Then I guess I better start to guessing.
You better get in there, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to... can I uncheck that? Okay, good. Woo, that was close. there you go. Yes, okay. I'm guessing those two incorrect answers. No, one's going to be right, one's going to be wrong.
Excellent.
You both have gone with two. You both said Hungarian. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, Hungarian is correct. Magyarul. That's the language that I speak a little bit.
Sure.
Scott, you went with Norwegian. Brian, you went with Somali. We're going to give some points here. Somali does have more than 10 million speakers. Norwegian doesn't, surprisingly.
I checked and unchecked Nepali. Dadgummit.
Yeah. I know if you would have kept Nepali, you would have had a three-er.
I knew Hebrew was a curveball because that sounds like it should be because we hear it all the time, but it's not. Yeah. Okay. All right. I learned my lesson there. Right. 3 points. Holy shit. All right.
Whatever. Okay. Well, now we got some points on the board, so you got to go big or go home. Question number three. Which of these are among the 20 most common U.S. street names? So, Main Street, probably the number one most popular street name in the
U.S.
And
it's not on there.
No, and of course it's not on this list. Your choices are Broadway, Park, Washington, Martin Luther King, 9th, and Birch. And, of course, these count as either streets, boulevards, avenues, whatever.
Is there a jail, go straight to jail space here.
Jail. Yes. Go directly to jail. Do not pass.
Well, I've made a joke for years about one of these being just that. I hope I've been right about that. So I'm going to choose it.
Okay.
And
you better choose it before you lose it.
I'm going all out here.
You kind of have to.
All right. I'm locked.
Okay.
I'm going with my dumb too.
All right. You guys both agreed on Park.
Yeah.
I will tell you that Park is one of the top 20 most common U.S. street names. So you are both going to get points for that one.
Yeah.
Your other options, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Martin Luther King. is not even in the top 100. Broadway is number 72. Park is number 5. Washington is number 17.
I checked ninth and unchecked it. I chickened out.
I watched you check and uncheck ninth, which is the 18th most popular street name. And Birch is number 58.
Oh, man. I've always, everywhere I go, there's Martin Luther King Jr.
They're always circle. Big roads.
Yeah.
That's the trick. They're usually
but
big
I think
roads.
That, but what will happen with Martin Luther King is you'll get it in the big city in every state, but you won't get it in every city in the state like you would with a Ninth Avenue or Washington Street or something like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Washington.
Gambling with confidence. I almost lost that.
Well, you won, dude. You freaking won.
You won.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Brian?
I feel pretty good. It's a Monday, and I beat Scott Johnson, so.
I hate to say this, but I actually think Before We Leave might be the superior game. But don't worry, it's not a big deal. The second player won a better game.
That's the way it always works. Like the A game goes to the runner up, and the B and C game goes to the winner. But anyway, congratulations, Aaron Wilson of Ruhr, Colorado. You're getting Per Aspera and Just Die Already. And Walker, you're going to get Before We Leave, all courtesy of Steam and Wesley.
Yes, Wesley. We also got a whole slew of new games.
Oh, we
yesterday.
Did.
Oh, slew.
It is a slew. It's absolutely a slew.
That was from, I'm going to give him credit here.
How many comes in a slew? Nope. Is that like more than a dozen?
I don't.
I would say it's about
100.
100 games maybe, or 80 games.
Yeah. Ian Graham sent those in. Thank you, Ian. They will fit very nicely for future contests like this one. All right. Mr.
I don't take them all.
No. Hell no. Hey, Brian Dunaway, tomorrow night, you and I at 3:30 Mountain Time are going to be doing a Play Retro show. Now, here's what's funny. We decided we were going to do the Metroidvania kind of thing, do in sections. So we did Metroid last week. This week, we're talking all about Castlevania. And as Castlevania, despite the fact that they have not made a game since, there's been no Castlevania game outside a crappy mobile thing since 2014. It's been a while. And despite all of that, there are vastly more Castlevania games than there are Metroid.
There are so many more. Last week I said, oh, we got so many Metroid. Now I'm like a fool because Castlevania is way more.
Yep.
And now I'm stuck with my outrage.
Check this out. In 1989, from 1989 to 19, what would that have been? 90 years would have been, or 90 years, sorry. 20 years would have been what? 2009. So from 1989 to 2009, they only had 6 years of that 20 years that didn't have a Castlevania game being released.
Right.
It's crazy.
And we'll be mostly talking about the most important Vania for the Metroidvania, which is going to be Symphony of the Night.
Yes.
That's where I have spent most of my time at, even though I did peruse all the rest of the titles, except for some of the Game Boy stuff.
Game Boy Advance. Aria of Sorrow is the superior game. It is very good.
I love the Advance collection on Steam. I got that, and it has all the Advance games, including X.
Yeah, Dracula X. Yeah, they're all good. But I'm telling you right now, that Aria of Sorrow game, best Castlevania
game.
Good.
I know, even though they basically have said now this doesn't count, right?
And I don't know if they did or didn't. But the point is, if anyone comes at me with their freaking Symphony of the Night bull crap, I'm gonna fight you because I think that's
I'm coming
game.
With you with the Symphony of, because that's what I got. I'm bringing it.
It's also a very good game. Don't get me wrong. It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Well, there you go then. This will be a great time. So that's tomorrow, 3:30 Mountain Time. Play Retro wherever you get your podcast. If you'd rather just listen to it, and we'd love to have you there, Brian. Anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, tune in basically Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I am playing all of these games. I've played, I've played so many Castlevania games this past week. Like you said, how many was it in 20 years?
It's a lot. Only four missed, so what is that, 18? 17?
More than I cared to try to tackle in a week.
Yeah. This doesn't even count the new like 3D stuff they put out 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're just talking 2D here. Well,
are you a Castlevania fan?
I am a Castlevania fan. Mm-hmm. I liked, which ones did I play? Obviously played the first one on the NES. I don't know if I played Bloodlines. I probably only played two or three. But there was one on the, I think it was the Game Boy Advance, or maybe it was...
Right.
Yeah, was that Bloodlines?
No, Bloodlines is Genesis.
That was Genesis.
Game.
That was the only Genesis.
I didn't play that one then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I miss it. I'm sure that a lot of them, if not all of them, are available on the Switch.
Switch. Oh yeah, that Advance Collection is on the Switch, and they're excellent games. Really, really good.
Yeah, that'd be a weird way to go.
Worth your time. And they're only, I think, $19. Pretty cheap for the whole collection.
And good stalling, because I got the games out to our two players. So well done. That's good.
Well done, everybody. We stalled properly. We promoted properly. And now I say to you, Brian Dunaway, kiss our butts.
No, you.
All right. I wanted him to at least let him have a word there, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly.
I can't leave him high and dry. All right.
No, don't do that.
It's quick news time.
And dance by the light of the moon.
It's time for some news brought to you by...
Get your TMS Vegas tickets before it's too late. Go to vivatmsvegas.com for links. The tickets come with swag too, like a golf ball, a TMS golf ball, and some stickers, and even a print that will give us something to sign, because we are only signing four boobs at the. I'm saying I'm cutting it off at four.
We're only four boobs total boobs, right? That's total boobs
and two peni.
Oh, okay. Brian will be doing the peni both. He's doing both those.
Bring a soft Sharpie.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can also get the swag if you can't make it to Viva TMS Vegas. Just go to vivatmsvegas.com. Either way, if you can make it or if you can't, if you want to get the swag.
Yeah, and all the other details are there. The hotel stuff, all that stuff's there if you guys want to check that out. So go and do it.
Exactly.
All right, the world's...
Depending on how you're doing, I might just initial your penis. I might not fully sign it.
Yeah, I will go nowhere near any of your penises. I can tell you that.
I just like our fans a little bit more.
I understand. Look, you do. You definitely do. A lot more than me. The four boobs, by the way, need to be four different humans, not two ladies.
Could be three ladies and one dude.
Yeah, three ladies and one dude. And a pizza place. All right, check this out. We've been lied to. The world's heaviest potato turned out to be... The one on record turned out to be not a potato at all.
Whoops.
Yep. A New Zealand couple who applied to have the massive vegetable named Doug recognized as the world's heaviest potato by the Guinness World Book of World Records said the DNA test had a shocking result. The tuber is no potato.
Wow.
Colin and Donna Craig Brown, who unearthed the 17.4-pound object from their Waikato farm in August of last year, said Guinness World Records requested a sample of Doug. They named it Doug, and they spelled...
I love that his name is Doug, yeah. D-U-G.
D-U-G is pretty good. They dig Doug,
I'm
I guess.
Really rooting for these guys.
Yeah. they got a DNA test as part of their record application, which is how it works. They heard back from the organization on Sunday. They said the sample tested by Science and Advice for Scottish Agriculture, or the SASA. The SASA.
Yeah.
And the examination revealed Doug was... Doug the Spud was actually a tuber of a type of gourd. Or a tuber or type of gourd. So it's not a true potato. It's just like a big gourd thing.
It's a big gourd. Still a tuber.
Yeah, but not a
potato tuber.
Not a potato tuber. Exactly. Still grew underground. No. It looks like a giant poo, that photo. I don't like it. It's freaking me out. This
photo. Oh, I have to look at the photo.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like... It does look like poop.
Like a big poop. Like. Yeah, like a big poop. I don't like it.
Looks like a big poop.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's okay. But, you know, silver lining. Does that mean that this is the biggest tuber of a gourd?
I mean, that's a... maybe. And now that's a whole new record, right? They don't say in the article, but maybe they could, apply for just a slightly different category. See if you can get that one.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
It says, Craig Bank speculated that Doug may have been the result of a seeding he purchased that may have been a crossbred between a gourd and a cucumber. Boy, that thing lost all cucumber genes. Look at it. There's no way a cucumber's in that thing.
No, gosh, no.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's no cucumber I'd want to eat.
Yeah.
That's not the... None of that is the right color for a cucumber.
Nope. And you're right, chat. The doctor would ask you to increase your fiber intake if this is what you were producing. Okay? So just get more water, more fiber. You'll be fine. Brian, let's move on to this story.
Yes, please.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ah.
They're offering an exclusive 11-course tasting menu in Australia.
Oh, 11-course. Wow, your prefix menu with all your different courses, but this is a freaking KFC.
Yeah, okay. You got to go there. Here's what it is. So until this week, if you wanted to have an 11-course meal at KFC, you'd have to arrange your own. All right, you'd have to figure it out and do the whole thing yourself. But not so. Australia, this is before Australia put together an official 11-course degustation menu. What's that mean?
Degustation? I know that. So that's like you go to a fancy restaurant, they've got what's called the prefix or the prefee. I can't remember how you actually pronounce it because it's spelled prix-fixie.
Prix-fixie. Okay.
I think it's pronounced prefix or prefee.
Okay, so they got some fancy
term. And you've got basically like, all right, choose your appetizer from this list of four. You pay a set amount, $55 or $80 or whatever.
Yeah.
You get your first course, choose one of these three. Your entree, choose one of these three. Or your salad, choose one of these. And then dessert. And there's something, some places call it the degustation menu. And I don't know if that's
weird.
how you pronounce that. It's... Degust or degustation?
Chat room's got a list of it. Degustation menu, a tasting menu consisting of several bite-sized dishes served to guests as a single meal. They'll be inspired by the French term degustation, which is defined as the careful tasting of various foods with a focus on the senses and culinary art.
The question is hard or soft G in that one?
Yeah, that's the question.
Someone want to let us know? Google that one. Hard or soft?
Yeah, is it hard or soft?
Claire is typing up her response right now. It's a hard G, degustation menu.
Okay. It is a hard G. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the pronunciation is prefee.
Oh, prefee?
The prixie fix is pronounced prefee.
Prefee. Okay. I will buy that. I'd buy that for a dollar.
I saw a lot of different pronunciations. Let's see. Guacamar says prefee or prefee. Yeah, prefee.
Would you go to a tasting menu thing? I would do this KFC thing.
At KFC?
It would be to talk about it on the show. I'd have my own motives.
For the show, I would absolutely do it. But you know, one of those courses is just going to be curly fries.
Yeah. No, you don't want... I would...
Here is your coleslaw course.
Yeah, I'd never do this like wanting to do this. Like I would only do it. I'd do it and love to talk about it here, but yeah, forget it in real life.
Yeah.
Unless
your powdered mashed potatoes course.
Your barely edible biscuit course.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do it for that. That's the only reason I would do it.
Kanye West in the news. He's in trouble right now.
He's always in trouble. That one
seems
that
like,
one.
Yeah, he's always well. Whatever. You can't.
Does he still have like an unofficial hit out on Pete Davidson?
Well, this is part of that. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, there we go.
Kanye West has been barred from performing at the Grammys, the upcoming Grammys, due to concerning online behavior, according to his rep. Kanye West has been barred from performing at the Grammys due to his concerning online behavior. I don't know why they repeated the headline twice. A rep for the artist confirmed to Variety magazine. Reps for the Recording Academy and CBS, which present the Grammys, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Basically, skip ahead here because they just repeat the thing like three times. He was going to perform. He's not going to now. This has all been confirmed. Our sources say Kanye's team is not surprised by the decision, nor should they be. Now we get to the meat of it.
Yeah.
There are many reasons why Kanye West's performance on the live network should be prohibitively risky proposition based on his social media posts and activity in the past months alone. He might use the stage to continue his online harassment of Pete Davidson. He's estranged wife Kim Kardashian's new boyfriend. He could attempt to lobby public sentiment for custody of his children. He could make some statement in support of accused sex offender Marilyn Manson unrepentant homophobe DaBaby. I don't know who that is. That's okay, though.
I don't know. Yeah.
Both of whom he has featured on his recent concerts and listening events. He could also make a more misguided statements about slavery or revive his stumping for former President Trump. Conversely, he could use the platform to do something that isn't self-serving, self-referential, or sheer trolling. like when he unexpectedly said, quote, George Bush doesn't care about black people during the televised Hurricane Katrina fundraiser in 2005. Look, if I was the Grammys, I'd be relieved he's not on. I would. Like, he's going to say something nutty. Sure. That's just it. He's not on his meds. He's admittedly so. He's like just completely out there. The guy's going to say weird shit. So
He is.
You don't want him on there.
Everybody remembers him saying, you know, George Bush doesn't care about black people. Do you remember the poor staff who had to stand next to him during that Hurricane Katrina special?
Oh, yeah.
Who looked like he could have been blown over by a fart at that moment.
Yeah, wasn't that... hold on.
Uh-huh.
It's Mike Myers is who that is.
Exactly who it was, yeah. Yes. Like, looking at the camera like... I don't know what I say after this. Yeah. Back to you in the studio, Anthony.
That's right. Oh, J.C. Yeah. Calhoun is also correct. I read this the other day. He's got serious beef with Trevor Noah, who is hosting the Grammys.
Oh, really?
I don't know that Trevor Noah has any beef with him. I just know Kanye has beef with everybody who says anything mean about him or, you know, funny about him.
Is yeah, I mean, because Fallon and Kimmel all say mean things about Kanye.
Yeah.
So why is it that I like the Oscars, but I have zero interest in watching the Grammys? Is it, I can't just say it's because I feel like the Oscars introduces me to good movies, but the Grammys doesn't introduce me to good music. Mm. Can I say that? Or is it just the fact that the music I tend to like isn't represented well?
I think you can totally say both those things. Cause I think that I think that movies, you do get introduced to movies you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Right.
Yeah.
With the Oscars. Yeah, I think there's real value in that. With the music, you're just seeing
it's top, like Ariana Grande and
it's the pop whatever and then that's it, and you're not seeing, you know, Crowded House isn't having a resurgence and getting a Grammy for it.
Exactly.
I'm totally with you.
A Grammy for their newest album because it was effing excellent.
Yeah, whatever small interest I have in the Oscars, I have even minor, minuscule, almost unseeable by telescope interest in the freaking Grammys. I don't have any interest in seeing that.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, so. Do not feel bad. I think you're right. It's, you know, people may be surprised. They're like, oh, Brian, but it's music and a cover villain. Yeah, but I don't think
it's... I thought you liked all award shows. That's not what they sound like. That's them. If you say that, that's what you sound like.
Yeah, that's it. Wow.
You know who you are out there. That's you. That's you I was impersonating.
I don't know. Look, I know there are a lot of people out there like Kanye, and I think he's musically, you know, maybe a genius. I just think he's just an ass, though.
Yeah.
See, he's an ass. So if you can be an ass, why would you want him? This isn't some people are screaming, you're gonna cancel and censor him. No, it's this is pretty open market shit going on. You don't get to just be on the Grammys because you exist. So... No, you don't get to go on and go F everything up like any more than if I said, hey, I'm going to come to your Sunday services there, preacher, and I'm going to get up and go, my left testicle is named Barry. Like, why would I do that?
Right, exactly.
Why would you ever want me in there? You don't want me in there.
You don't want it. You don't want me up on that that platform watching the people who are trying to kill me 20 yards away.
Yes.
AV Tech John says, and don't get me started on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think I'm agreeing with you on part of that, because I think your complaint probably, I'm assuming your complaint is about who they induct into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I will say this, when they get bands up there, the bands that perform the music of the inductees, some of that stuff is brilliant and it's great.
Yeah, that's cool. They get them together. So you get a little cross. Some bands aren't even, like, they haven't been together in years, and this is the first time they'll show up and be
and
there
some
together.
Some of them just refuse to show up. I want to say David Gilmour showed up for Pink Floyd's induction, but Roger Waters didn't because of the animosity between the two of them. And Mark Knopfler, I think, didn't show up for the Dire Straits.
Oh, I didn't know that. Induction. Did they not get along? Yeah. I didn't know that.
That one I didn't know. He might have been out like traveling or something, but
they were possibly at odds, the band and him. That's a bummer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, don't know for
sure. Got too much money for nothing and too many chicks for free. Is that what happened there?
That's exactly right. The sultans of swing are not all swinging together.
Such a great band. Why do so many great, like legitimately great bands break up so hard? Why?
Yeah.
It's just the creativity. They can't handle it. It's just like, what are we going to do?
Tell me that one, Police, with, you know, Sting. Not even, I don't think they're talking Sting and Andy and...
do they have anything to do with each other?
Stuart Copeland.
That's a bummer. I didn't know that. They're still jealous of his shirtless
turn. His tantric sex.
No,
his three-hour tantric sex.
I think his Dune shirtless moment. I think maybe that's
what pissed him off. Well, sure. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our pal Steven Schleicher will be joining us. We can't do that, though, until there's a song. So could you play song?
This is a requirement. We're going to Brooklyn for this one, a pop punk quartet. So think, you know, along the lines of Lit and Sum 41 and Blink 182. This is a band called Awful Din, A-W-F-U-L, like awful, like I feel awful, and Din, like a noise, D-I-N. Mm. They have a brand new single called Summer Fall via We're Trying Records.
Wow.
They've announced that they have a brand new album coming out. Do they have a date? Let's see. I don't see a date for their new album, so only constantly April 20th is when it comes out on 420. So make sure you go pick it up on April 20th.
Blaze
Here
up.
Is Awful Din and the song Summer Fall.
It's already summer, the heat is unreal. Getting used to the way this feels. I'm heavy and sweating and choking downhill. Getting used to the way this feels. Just one drink, one smoke knocks me back on my heels. I'm struggling, but I don't want you to know how this feels. It's already summer, the heat is unreal. Getting used to the way this feels. I'm happy and sweating and choking down meals. Getting used to the way this feels. Just one drink, one smoke knocks me back on my heels. I'm struggling.
this is an actual picture of a Waffle House chocolate pie in a Rubbermaid-type container surrounded by
blood!
Mom and I, we just fell out of love, Charlie.
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
All right, we're back, everybody. Please remind me who that was just now.
Yes, pleased to tell you. That was Awful Din and their brand new single, Summer Fall, which is coming out. Their single is out now. Their album, Only Constantly, comes out about a month from now, April 20th, 2022.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah. I will wait hands on needles. Wait, what's the phrase? Hand and foot.
I will wait on pins and needles.
Pins and needles, hand and foot. I mix those two up. Hand
something
and foot?
Something like that, yeah.
Foot and hand? No, I don't know.
I'll be waiting on all fours. No, that's go. Not
oh,
it.
Oh, no, we don't want that ever. All right.
I will walk 500 miles.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Yeah, that's the phrase.
Steven, I'd walk 500 more.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's Steven Schleicher from Hayes, Kansas, and Majorspoilers.com. Comes on Mondays, talks about pop culture, comics, and more. Always good to have you here, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it is good to
yes,
see you.
It's good to see you. But I mean, you guys can't see me, but I can
hear you. It's good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Always good to hear, Steven. It's good to have you here. I had a real epiphany with you the other day. I was on the Major Spoilers podcast, and we read these old 1940s through, well, turns out 90s. I didn't know it, but these really old serials from comic strips, and it was called, oh, now I forgot the name, Trip. Wait.
Rip Kirby.
Rip Kirby. So it's basically like this, like, self, I don't know what is his Bruce actual
Wayne.
Job?
He's Bruce Wayne, he's but his parents never died.
Yeah, he's basically Bruce Wayne without his parents dying. So he doesn't wear any cowls or anything.
He's an author, a doctor, lawyer, something else too. Yeah. And he's rich.
Yeah, and he's rich. And it's this very old school kind of writing, very noir sort of stories and stuff. The art is amazing. I never even knew it existed. And Steven had us all read a storyline so we could sit around and talk about it. And man, I got hooked on that stuff. Like, I'm seeking out more of it. It's good. Like, legitimately fun to read. I mean, it's like old storytelling, and plus they're doing a daily strip, so that's tricky to kind of, you know, have every strip's a cliffhanger, kind of. And it's like three panels, and it's just a different art form. But, man, I had fun with that. It was really
good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad. That's probably, I will say, we've done a lot of comic book strips over the years, including, like, Flash Gordon, Prince Valiant, and a bunch of others. And this is the one that seems to have been a success with everyone. In the past, we've read these things and it's like, it's racist, it's dated, it's horrible. Oh, we even did the Amazing Spider-Man one. Now, that wasn't racist or dated, but man, it was like three panels. Let's tell you what happened the last time. Mm-hmm. One panel of development. Let's give you a crappy cliffhanger for the next strip and then repeat.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
It's something. Anyway, the art alone, I think, is worth the price of admission.
Oh, yeah.
It's
most really, definitely. Really good. Most definitely.
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's really good. Well, anyway, Steven, we're here with you. And, well, good news, everybody. We found we found our new TV Kirk. We have our movie Kirk, right? We got our Chris, one of the Chris's.
Chris Pine is our movie Kirk. Who is our TV Kirk?
Yeah. Tell me about the TV Kirk. And what is he? Do you think this guy's going to make it? What do you think?
It turns out his name is Paul Wesley.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen Paul Vampire Wesley. Diaries.
Get off the bridge.
Get off the bridge, Wesley. Paul Wesley, and he's like a kind of a skinny dude. I expect him to be a little buffer for some reason. I don't know why. Is that bad that I thought that?
I mean, go look at the first season of William Shatner as Kirk, and he was pretty skinny then, too.
Yeah.
In fact, they all were.
He was just kind of barrel-chesty.
Go back and look at the first season of Next Generation. Look how slim number one was.
Yeah. This is him, chat, right there. He looks fine, I guess. He just doesn't look very rebellious. If anything, he looks like old-school Pike from, like, the TOS series. Whereas, you know, he's under Pike on this, I assume. I don't even know why Kirk's involved, actually. Do we know anything about this story? Because it is Pike's show, right?
I have not watched a single episode of this stuff. I don't subscribe to the Paramount Network. Not that there's anything wrong with people who do. It's just at the time when that launched, there wasn't enough of an offering for me to get onto that. So I haven't watched anything. I haven't watched, Discovery?
Discovery
yeah.
Talks
which has been really
about.
Good.
It's good.
This most recent season has been really good, and it just picked They finished up the first half of the most recent season, and now they're just finishing up the second half of the most recent season.
Yeah, they're great.
I watched the free episode of Picard that they released. Didn't care for it. And so I've just been like, I just have kind of passed on a lot of this Star Trek stuff, waiting for it to come out in someplace else. So,
I keep hearing the new season of Picard is way better than the first. The first one's a little slow and weird at the beginning and not great. But Daryl, if Daryl's to be believed on Twitter, he thinks the new Picard season is the bee's knees.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. So
yeah, so maybe, I don't know, you bring Q back, you get a little Borg in there going on. Borg Queen shows up. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Look forward to that. I guess that'll be part of Strange New Worlds, the new series, headed by Anson Mount as Christopher Pike.
Was your Pike. Yeah. Yeah.
And I really liked it, that turn in what the hell is it called? Discovery, where he shows up and is a huge part of that. I don't know what in this latest season, Brian, is he involved at all? Or is he off on his own?
No. Okay. They've all kind of, he's kind of gone off on his own, after that season. So.
Yeah.
Who knows if they'll meet again, but for right now, no.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll look for this
we
guy.
We don't have to wait long. It's May 5th, I believe, is when it's supposed to drop on Paramount Plus.
I just think like he could be kicked. Someone's going to kick his butt easy. I don't know why I feel that way.
The first green alien woman that he hooks up with is going to snap him in half.
Yeah. She's going to put those green legs around him, and then that's the end of Kirk. Done. that'll be a new, it'll be a new universe, you know, a new timeline. It's fine. Kill Kirk early, move on. all right, let's move on to this. Atlanta is back, everybody. The TV show, that is, not the city.
Yay!
March 24th.
I'm super excited about this. Comes out March 24th. They showed the first episode or first couple of episodes at South by Southwest this past weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, it goes into some very deep territory. Don't expect the entire cast to show up in the first episode. It's going to be kind of like they describe it. It's kind of like that episode where they did the channel surfing. Mm. And Paperboy was the only one that was on that episode.
Yeah.
This one, they say, it goes into a disturbing territory, even though Donald Glover claims that he wants this season to be kind of like a fairy tale. Oh. So I don't know how that works. You know, they've gone into some deep topics in the past. It's and I can't wait to watch the show when it debuts. It has been since 2018 since we last saw an episode of that.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Because 2016, you had the premiere, and then how many seasons so far? Two?
This is only the third season, and I think it's the final season.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. Final season, they say.
We've been watching Insecure, which Issa Rae, it feels like it's the L.A. counterpart to Atlanta.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Heard good things about that. Is it good?
She's great. It is really good. It's sometimes funny, but a lot of times, you know, serious and interesting relationship stuff. It's like, it's really good.
Yeah.
She's excellent, Issa Rae.
Yeah. I also really like Zazie Beetz. She was awesome in that.
Yep. She was on Atlanta. Yeah.
She was in.
Probably still will be.
Yeah. She was in that, what was that movie I liked? The Harder They Fall. Was that it? The Harder They Fall? Yeah. The Harder They Fall, that Western. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba and her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jonathan Majors. Yeah. I freaking love that dude. I thought that was so good.
I need to see it still.
And then, okay, the weirdest thing of the week was that Paul Dano is writing a Riddler comic.
No, that's right. So for those of you who haven't seen The Batman, he is playing the Riddler, and DC announced that he is also going to write a Riddler Year One comic book coming out later this year.
Is it going to be, I assume it's based on this take from the newest film, or we don't know. It could be anything, right?
We don't know, but my guess is that's what it's probably going to shift to, because he knows that character very well in embodying that for the film. So I'm sure it's going to kind of spin out of that.
Now, you think this is one of those, okay, from your experience where quote unquote celebrities or whatever, they jump out of their normal acting space and they do a writing job or something like that. Is this going to be like he's writing it, but really they're ghostwriters who are writing it? Or is he known for this? Does Paul Dano do comics?
I don't know anything
about how much Kiss blood is in this comic is what we want to know.
I don't know what his writing background is. Mm. There have been instances in the past where they've done some stunt casting with, like, there was a Spider-Man series that J.J. Abrams' son kind of wrote with JJ kind of serving as the backup on that slash ghostwriter on that.
Yeah, I remember
and that thing was horrible.
it was bad, wasn't it?
It was really bad.
Yeah.
But we've also seen like some very talented writers. Ava DuVernay, what's his name? Mosley is currently writing The Thing over on Marvel. And so they've brought in, now I forgot his name, who did Black Panther. You know, they've brought in some top notch prose writers. Yeah, to come in and do to do these comics for DC and Marvel in the past. And they've been very, very good.
So I knew this is going to happen. Sorry, keep going. My microphone finally decided to just let go.
Oh, yeah, some
damn thing. All right, I'll fill with
that. That's okay. Mine's kind of the same way, Scott. It's barely holding on by a thread. The screw snapped years ago. So
you're going to be rocking it like Steven Tyler, the front man, and holding the microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to do this a whole show. This is how the show goes.
Scarf there around your neck, Scott, that you could.
That's just to hide my waddle. I looked him up for some writing credits. It looks like Paul Dano directed and wrote a movie in 2018 called Wildlife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got Jake Gyllenhaal, Carey Mulligan. Good cast. Reviewed
pretty
well.
Who do you think would win in a stare-off between Paul Dano and Dalmastian?
Oh, Dalmastian.
Dalmastian.
I think Paul Dano could probably outstare him if I had to guess.
Okay, all right.
I could be wrong. But there's another guy who's writing comics. That Dalmastian guy's writing comics.
Is he
right
really?
Now. Yeah.
He's writing for DC?
I don't know if it's for DC, but he's writing, it may be an independent thing, but he's writing something. I like this. I like these comic, you know, these actors
crossing
that are in like
over,
genre films crossing over like that. I think that's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
he will finally drink his milkshake. Well, this is all good as usual. All this stuff always coming out of majorspoilers.com if you're looking for the latest and the greatest. So go check it out. Steven, anything else going on this week?
Let's see. We got a lot of solicitations for comics that are coming out in June. So if you're wanting to know what's coming up 3 months from now, we've got that over on the site. And then I think this week for the Major Spoilers podcast, we're going to do a Twitch live stream, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, this Tuesday.
Oh, very nice.
And twitch.tv/Major Spoilers. So hopefully we can get a lot of people to show up for that and do some AMA and maybe some Spider-Man No Way Home talk. Because I was finally able to see that movie.
Oh, you did?
Oh, good.
Yeah. How'd
excellent.
You give me the quick? Liked it.
So here are the best Spider-Man movies. Here's my favorite. Let's just run down.
I know
Marvel.
We know,
Marvel related. Into the Spider-Verse number one.
Yes.
Homecoming number two.
Oh, interesting.
Then
okay.
I think I ran down this last week. There's like a skip. There's two skips of other Marvel movies that I like, and then we get No Way Home. So it's in my top five.
Oh,
it's
wow.
in my top
oh, wow.
five.
Okay. So even just among all the MCU movies, Homecoming is your second favorite.
Oh yeah.
Interesting. Oh wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now I will say, and it's maybe a little bit of a spoiler. Mm-hmm. For those of you who haven't watched Spider-Man.
We never do that on this show.
I know.
Steven.
But So here's the thing that it struck me while watching this, and I think maybe a whole bunch of other people may have caught this as well. There's a scene where Spider-Man is fighting Electro in the forest, right?
Yeah.
Wow, Electro's in that?
I know, right? Uh-huh. And he decides to take out all of the power lines. This is early in the movie, so this is not like it's going to ruin it for everybody.
Sure.
And as he's taking out the power lines, I'm screaming, Peter Parker, you're just a dumb kid. You're going to knock out power to New York or what, you know, whatever. It's like, have you not learned anything?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there, you know, saying that to myself, thinking that to myself, and I started thinking, has the phrase that we know that Ben tells Peter when he was,
the great,
you know, first,
power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. It's like, has that ever been said in any of the Tom Holland movies?
Oh.
And Tony Stark came close in the first in Homecoming. Oh.
Yeah.
And where he called him just a stupid kid that doesn't learn anything.
Yeah. Well, didn't Aunt May say something in this one? Or am I recalling?
That's right. We do get that. I wasn't going to say who said it in this one.
Oh.
But it is finally said to him in this movie. And then when you think about how all three of those movies come together, three of the Tom Holland movies come together, it makes perfect sense that this is. Yeah, we don't need to see.
Yeah.
Spider-Man being bit by the spider and how he got his powers, because that's all known. But it's this learning of what it takes to go from somebody who has all of these powers and take responsibility for his actions
right.
Yeah.
that
yeah.
ends up becoming you know, the big overarching story or theme for these three movies. And so it's really cool.
Yeah.
It reminds me of another movie recently where we don't get an origin story that we don't need to see anymore. And that's all I'll say about that.
Oh, yeah. Do we? Is it a spoiler to say whether or not certain people pass away in a movie or not?
I think so. Depends on when the movie. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the Waynes,
you can't do Batman's origin without the Waynes dying, but you just don't need to see it every single time.
Well, that's my question is, is it a spoiler, though, to say, like, if that movie shows that or doesn't show that, is it a spoiler to say whether they showed it or didn't show it?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
You think so? Okay.
Because most people complain.
Well, then I'm not going to say whether or not. Who knows if I was talking about the Batman? I could have been talking about Venom. We don't need to see J. Jonah Jameson's son get onto that space shuttle and get contracted with symbiote.
Yeah. You could be, for all we know, you're talking about Ben Affleck's sex movie you just made. It could be that.
That's right. We don't need Ben Affleck's sex origin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know so, what? You know what's a really good Ben Affleck movie?
It's an orgy story, not an origin
surprised.
Story.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a, what was the Ben Affleck movie that just came out? It's on, I want to say Amazon. It's the something bar.
Justice League bar.
No. It's not the Justice League bar.
Justice bar.
Is that the basketball one?
No, it's the one where he's a bartender, the tender bar.
Oh.
It's really good.
Yeah, I heard that was good. I heard real good things about that. Like, really.
Maybe I need to watch that to erase the crap out of my mind that I just watched.
Yeah, he can be good in things. I liked him in Final Duel, Last Duel.
Just watched Deep Water, which is...
the shark movie?
No. It's the him and Ana de Armas, brand new on Hulu. Okay. They're horrible people who are horrible together.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, definitely watch the Tinder bar because it's really tender. It's really
tender.
Nice.
Tender bar. Yeah. So it's not like a swipe left bar, swipe right bar.
No. It's an autobiographical movie about a kid, J.R. Maguire, decides he wants to be a writer. And this kind of tells his life when he was a very young kid, when he was in college, and as he gets out of college. And his uncle, played by Ben Affleck, runs the bar and he encourages him to just, you know, continue to pursue writing. So this is kind of a life story of this character, J.R. Maguire.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cool. It's
Ty Sheridan, Lily Robb. I really like Lily Robb. Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd is great in this.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. This is streaming on Amazon Prime. So watch that.
What do you think Christopher Lloyd's going to do in The Mandalorian Season 3? That got announced. Did you hear about that?
We've got to get Slave 1 up to 88 miles parsecs per hour.
88 parsecs per hour.
I made the joke that where we're going, we don't need robes or some dumb joke like that. I don't know what he's going to play. I assume, you know, some weird half alien man or maybe not. I don't know. But that's a weird bit of casting, I thought. You know,
Does he get to play the Hume Cronin character from... the Christmas special?
No, but there's an idea. There's your plan. Sorry, I'm still wrestling my microphone. This thing can bite my butthole.
Can you put it between your legs?
Trying to. That's actually the goal here. It all fell apart in
it's
a way
the
that...
Cord, the cable is your problem, right? It's like, yeah, you've got the microphone, but the cable goes through the bars of the microphone, which makes it impossible to kind of arrange.
It's really obnoxious, but I'll work it out later. All right. Well, Steven, this has been enlightening as always. It's great to have you here. And I'm guessing we'll see you next week. Is there anything else happening on the Major Spoilers Network that you'd like people to know about?
No, but I would like to remind people, as it starts to get warmer outside, please stay hydrated.
I agree with that. That's a good idea. Let's do that. All right, Brian.
Thank you, Steven.
We are going to play a mashup while I try to fix this. So I'm actually going to mute my microphone while we play the mashup. I'll still be able to hear it and enjoy it, but I'll be mounting my microphone while I'm doing it.
Okay, mount your microphone.
Yeah, maybe. It's already fallen apart.
Do you have permission? Did your microphone give you permission?
I don't know. I feel like my microphone has not yet given consent, but we'll see if we can get this worked out. All right, here it is. This is a mashup from Jamie, who, by the way, is a...
I love this. I can't wait to hear this.
He is a monster in freaking Scrabble. My gosh.
Oh, he is. Yeah, well, we talk about Scrabble and my bitching.
We should talk
about Scrabble.
We should talk about it and why they don't have that mode, because I actually think it's weird they don't. But anyway, he just murdered me.
And me too. Weekend. He's excellent. Yes.
He's really good. But
the
anyway,
Canadian public school system is...
apparently, it's crazy. But anyway, he's got this one called Too Early for a Fish Sandwich. I think you have an idea of what audio might be in this one. So enjoy. coming up on TMS. Is it too early to get a Brian to get a... Shit.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Actually, no, we do have fish sandwiches at this moment.
All right, I'll take just take one then, one fish sandwich.
Anything else I can grab for you?
I'll do it.
You wanna fight me, Batman? It is just like a shaft.
Yeah.
It's just a shaft coming off the right of the boobs.
It's a shaft on the boobs.
Pops and Recline found an article about this. Selling counterfeit.
Counterfeit.
Selling counterfeit.
I believe these drugs might be counterfeit. Could you test these and tell me?
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Big fish?
Yeah.
How many?
Just one.
And it jumps?
Nope, that's it.
That's a tit? Did you say that's a tit?
This one's $6. Holy cow.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. What is with fish?
The wild salmon fish sandwich.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Denny's used to make great counter fritters. You remember those?
Counter frits.
Oh, they were so good. Wash them down.
Yeah, but you had to eat them at the counter.
Yeah, you did.
You couldn't take them back to your table. Sorry, sir. These are counter fritters.
These are counter fritters, not table fritters, which together carries a strong likeness to the male ween ween.
Two bowls and a peen.
Yeah.
Yeah, look like a crusty old pisser.
If Morgan Freeman's character was rehabilitated during his time in prison, that would also be turning red, because red has been turned from his way, his life of crime.
I mean, I guess I could just tell you what you'd like to hear if you want to let me go.
Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
No, we have our whole menu all day, every day.
All right, let me get a fish sandwich.
Yeah.
Nope, that's it.
You want deluxe or regular?
Regular, please.
Hey, Brian, how's that vagina treating you? You thirsty over there? Your Diet Coke, you all right?
How's that vagina treating you?
That is where he goes. That's absolutely where he goes.
Freaking Dave, man.
It's a good, why am I blanking on his name? From The Office.
Hank Azaria. Phil Hartman.
No. From The Office.
Branch Davidian. Nope.
Branch Davidian.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Fortunately, it is. We'll start serving fish at temper.
Okay, I got one from McDonald's. You want that one?
Oh, that poor... Who was that? Which one was that?
It's Wendy's. Poor Wendy's.
The poor Wendy's guy. You want that one? Oh, man. Braver than me on that one. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Huge, you know, big thanks to Bobby and Bill for putting up with that during their segments, like constant interruptions. And
yeah, especially Bill. Bill had no idea we were going to be doing that.
Right, yes.
At least Bobby was in the chat and kind of had some prayer, you know, some warning.
Coming.
That didn't go well. Right. All right. Yeah. Hey, quick note here, programming note. We got a film sack up this last weekend. We did a watch along. It's all part of a plan to make sure we don't miss a weekend while we got a lot of travel happening. So anyway, you'll have that. Next week we're doing, what did we do? The Losers.
Losers, yeah. Right. So this one's a watch along of Knight Rider, and then The Losers next week. And so much stuff.
And the Losers episode is one of my favorites. I loved it. We had so much fun this weekend doing that episode.
We did.
So see if you agree and listen to it. Also, there's a brand new core up that went up Thursday. Frog Pants TV later up today. I got a little thing I'm going to do a little commentary on, so watch for that. And yes, I'll have a dumb thumbnail with an outline around me making a dumb face. Looking forward to it. It'll be great. Cool. Play retro tomorrow, like we mentioned. Yeah, you have to. Look, if you want views, you gotta do the kids.
You gotta play the game, man. You gotta play the game.
Yep. And then as usual, tomorrow, normal TMS Tuesday, we'll have our guests and everything else. It'll be great. So come back for all of that. Cool. Frogpants.tv.com/TMS. I don't know why I said that. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website, wherein you'll find links to everything, including our Patreon. Get over there, patreon.com/TMS. We're just like weirdly close to the game show opening thing. Like,
oh, really? Good. We're getting there, huh?
Yeah, we're getting there. I feel like good. I mean, it would take a bit. It's like $700 or something, but I think we could do it, and I think you people can make it happen. So get over there, get that happening. That could be so much fun. You just get a little taste of it on Mondays and Wednesdays. Imagine like a full-blown monthly thing,
episode once a month. Like
gosh, it'd be so great.
I have to write so many damn questions for that thing.
We'll get Tom in there. We'll get Jury probably would take part.
4 or 5 rounds. Yeah, Tom would totally do it. Dunaway, Jordan. Oh, like the whole, every member of the whole crowd here. Amy Robinson.
Our whole law firm. The law firm of Robinson, Dunaway, Jordan.
Robinson, Dunaway, Duran, and Frankenberg.
It works somehow.
Have you been injured in an accident?
Have you been hurt? Give us a call. Anyway, so there's that. TheMorningStream@gmail.com for all your feedback, thoughts, and comments. That's it. Let's get out of here.
Do you have one more thing. Oh, yeah. The most recent episode of Soundography came out today. Hammond and I listened to the entire catalog of Information Society.
Oh, I love them.
And if you want to know what we're thinking, there is one show you can listen to.
Great.
And that is Soundography, soundography.com. Find out what we thought.
I had that album on permanent
I can loop. See why. That I first album it. Was freaking awesome.
So
and they came
good.
Out with a cover album a couple of years ago that was also freaking awesome.
Yeah, pure energy. And they had all that Star Trek stuff in it. Oh, so good.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. Anyway. So good.
All right.
So good. All right. So that's also up there, soundography.com. Hey, let's get to our request closing out here. Tyler wrote in and said, hey, Burnham. You mentioned you were light on requests for Monday's TMS, so I'm here to deliver. My daughter, Riley, will be celebrating her 5th birthday on March 19th. That was just a couple days ago. She doesn't listen to the show yet. Good thing.
Yep.
But I'm working on developing her music palette so that we might someday graduate from the saccharin-drenched kids' music CDs stuck in repeat in the car. Oh, if I have to listen to Wheels on the Bus one more time, I might need a lobotomy. I'm certain she would love to hear a song dedicated to her on her special day. I don't know if this has been requested recently, but I was thinking a cover of Fly Me to the Moon, but anything you could play would be terrific. She has a love for space and all things video games, as well as an upcoming first trip to Disney World that we're prepping for.
Fun.
Love you, little peanut. Love the show, though, Tyler K. Well, happy 5th birthday, Riley. This is for you, this song right here.
5 is an amazing year, by the way.
It is, yes. And maybe you won't listen to this now, but you'll listen to it in the future when Dad decides that it's a good time to introduce you to some Frank Sinatra-themed heavy metal. Yeah. That's right. It's time for a little bit of Frank Sin. So if you just take off the Atra, then you get Frank Sin. Mm. I don't know the voice on this guy. So familiar. I don't know if it's like... it almost sounds like the lead singer of the Refreshments, but I don't know who.
That's interesting.
Who does this? But the band is called Frank Sin. They came out on an album called Gods and Broads from 2006, a cover of a song that was originally by Kay Ballard, but popularized, of course, by Old Blue Eyes. Here is "Fly Me to the Moon."
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I look forward to your report, Mr. Broccoli.